Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
A coalition of public health organisations across the island of Ireland has warned today that a failure to fully ban the sale of turf could cost lives and would represent an abandonment of the state's duty to protect public health. Mark Murphy is a spokesperson for the advocacy group Climate and Health Alliance, and he joins me now. Mark, you're very welcome to the programme, and thank you very much indeed for joining us. You might tell me what some of the health organisations you're Alliance represents are, first of all?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. So effectively, we are a coalition of 18 public health organisations from across the island of Ireland, including the Irish Heart Foundation, the Irish Doctors for the Environment, the Aspen Society of Ireland, the British Heart Foundation in Northern Ireland. And we have come together as one coalition, the Climate Health Alliance, to really get across the and highlight the health dangers that can arise from climate change. And in this case, it's the health dangers that are arising from air pollution, particularly air pollution arising from the burning of solid fuels.
Let's focus on the current controversy, the burning of turf or the commercial sale of turf. Are you against the commercial sale of turf or the complete ban? You want the complete ban on all turf?
We understand the devastating health consequences that sod turf and burning it can have on human health. And we recognise the compromise that Minister Eamon Ryan had with the commercial ban on the sale of turf. Because we recognise that it's very important and culturally significant for many people in Ireland, particularly in rural Ireland. But we really feel that the solid fee regulations that will effectively ban wet wood, smoky coal, and ban the commercial sale of turf needs to happen for the protection of lives across the country. We know the devastating health consequences that arise from air pollution. It's continuing to cause 1,300 premature deaths every year in Ireland, due to stroke, heart disease, COPD, acute lower respiratory infections, and while hindering any quality of life.
So what do you say then, Mark, to the politicians, for example? They were on the airwaves today having held meetings in their constituencies, and they say now is not the time. Now is not the time to put this measure in place because of the war in Ukraine and the pressure that that's putting on energy costs.
Well, unfortunately, we can't continued to allow air pollution to just run amok in this country. There'll never be a perfect time, and we have to think of the people across the island of Ireland who are suffering from air pollution every day. It's a silent killer. When the head of the WHO calls air pollution a silent public health emergency, I think we really have to take it seriously. And we need to think of the people who are living in those rural villages and towns where solid fuels are sometimes a quite dominant source of a fuel. It's really badly impacting them in the immediate term, short term, and long term health term consequences. We can't continue every year to allow countless lives being lost to air pollution. We need to act on air pollution. We know the science. The medical evidence is overwhelmingly clear that it's very, very bad for one's health. And not only that, but there is a climate side to it as well that we have to act upon.
What about the health of people who may suffer from fuel poverty?
Well, we completely recognise that, and we can't overlook the massive issue of energy poverty in this country.
So what do you do in that regard if they depend on turf, for example?
Well, we feel that the compromise that Minister Ryan has, that turbary rights will those who have it can continue harvesting it and burning it and within giving it to their neighbour. But we can solve.
So what if you don't have turbary rights but you rely on turf?
Well,
and
that's why
you fall at risk of fuel poverty. What then?
We can handle this. We can tackle air pollution and energy poverty hand in hand. It does not have to be a case of either or. We can protect lives from energy poverty and air pollution, and that's.
But there are government TDs who say that is not being done.
That's what we need to accelerate and expand the rollout of the national retrofitting program. We need to provide better alternatives to the worst solid fuels. And the dirtiest fuels out there are solid turf, wet wood and smoky coal. And these regulations will massively reduce those. We need to...
When you talk about retrofit programs, that's, for an awful lot of people, that's out of reach financially. And for the people that we're talking about who may be at risk of fuel poverty, who may rely on the odd bag of turf that they may buy commercially, I don't hear of a solution being put forward to help them.
Well, that's why we need the government, and we need to target those households that unfortunately can't get in their community and won't be able to get saw turf within the current regulations. But we really need to tackle this hand in hand, air pollution, because we know that the devastating consequences that air pollution has and the energy poverty crisis out there. And these are two problems we can handle hand in hand.
But I don't hear the solutions from I don't know if they're do you think the solutions should come from government then? Further solutions to help people that I mention?
Well, I think we need to pass the solid fuel regulations as they are. We need to provide additional funding for the retrofitting program to accelerate the and target those most at risk. We should even increase the fuel allowance while we can, so people can get better alternatives. And we should even introduce a dedicated green transition fuel allowance to complement the existing scheme for the purchase of less polluting fuels and safer appliances.
Well, can I put a text to John, to 51551, to listeners? He says, I totally agree with the turf ban. Also ban people burning household rubbish in their stoves. People would be better off to invest in solar energy and renewables. It's absolutely daft burning turf. We need to move on, says John. And I'm sure, Mark, you'd agree with that. But I just wonder, if the just transition is to be just, we need to look after everyone, especially people are vulnerable, no?
Oh, absolutely. In addressing the climate crisis, unfortunately, it might be those most vulnerable who are hit hardest. But unfortunately, the climate crisis is hitting the most vulnerable here and now. And the just transition has to support those who are most disadvantaged, most vulnerable to air pollution and the energy crisis. We know that air pollution targets us all, but we must protect the most vulnerable in our society from air pollution, and that is children, the infants, and the elderly, and particularly the elderly in rural communities who are most reliant on those.
And is the price some people have to pay for clean air to be a little bit colder in the winter? Is that it?
No, we need to ensure that we tackle it hand in hand. We can't allow more people. We can't exacerbate the problem of the energy crisis here and now. We need to be able to tackle it hand in hand. And we believe that
retrofitting won't do that. It won't do that in the meantime. And if the transition is to be just, I just wonder how you tackle it hand in hand. A texter says, ask Mark about what the people of rural Ireland being destroyed by elite Dubliners that are anti-rural. How do you answer that, Mark?
Well, we're just trying to protect the health of everyone, particularly those in rural Ireland and across the island of Ireland, urban, rural, because we know that there's rural towns out there that are particularly exposed to the impact of air pollution, the likes of Enniscorthy, Killarney, Birr. In 2020, Ireland breached the World Health Organization air quality guidelines for PM2.5, which is the most health-harming pollutant out there, at 34 stations, and that is likely to rise and not continue to, and not lower, yeah, unless we do something about it.
You make an awful lot of sense without question, but people are up in arms based on what I'm seeing in my Twitter line and text line to 51551. Paul says, can you ask the Green anti-turf lobby whether they're lobbying the EU or Germany about industrial Europe's massive coal mining operations, he says?
Well, yeah, that's completely fair. That's addressing the entire wider climate crisis that we all need to put a hand into. But here and now, for the air pollution side of it, it's the immediate health harms that air pollution is causing people. There's both short-term and long-term health problems. There's breathing difficulties, there's eye irritation. It exasperates chronic diseases and increases risk of cancer and respiratory disease.
And everything you're saying, Mark, makes absolute sense. But when you say we have to tackle fuel poverty and clean the air hand in hand, how do you answer this text from a listener? I'm burning domestic rubbish to stay warm because they've put the cost of fuel out of touch.
Well, that's incredibly unfortunate here. And unfortunately, that probably has massive health consequences. And that's why we need to target those most vulnerable and target social housing, who unfortunately may fall more into energy poverty. We need to target those.
That'll
we
take
can't
years.
Leave anyone behind.
That'll take years, won't it?
We can't continue to allow every year for people to suffer from energy poverty and air pollution, because because there's no point doing one thing or the other and allowing countless lives to be lost. We need to try and address it in both ways, and it can go hand in hand. It doesn't have to be a case of either or.
Okay, Mark Murphy of the Climate and Health Alliance Advocacy Group, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
An awful lot of talk, an awful lot of controversy about the so-called turf wars. Well, the meeting between the Minister for the Environment, Eamon Ryan, and government backbenchers about the issue of turf has ended in the last while. We're told without resolution as well. One source described the exchanges as heated, irate and robust. Fine Gael TD for Kerry, Brendan Griffin, was at the meeting and he's on the line with me now. Brendan Griffin, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Good evening, Cormac, and good evening to everyone listening.
Well, what was the meeting like?
It was frank and it was robust at times, but, you know, it was an opportunity for members of the Fine Gael parliamentary party to express to Minister Ryan the concerns of ourselves and our constituents. And it was also an opportunity for the minister to listen to us and to hear where we're coming from. He also gave his point of view and explained where he's coming from as well. So we didn't reach a conclusion today, but we have agreed to meet again. And I welcome the fact that the engagement is now happening. And the minister also clarified as well that, you know, in the parliamentary question response that he gave to me earlier this month, which kind of kick-started this thing, that, you know, the question should have included the word draft in relation to what he was outlining.
Okay, so did he unwittingly, or it wasn't his intention, is that what he said to mislead the Dáil? Was that what he said?
Oh, I'd accept that. I mean, he didn't refer to those particular words that you've used there, but he did include that, you know, he should have read the red draft. And I accept that. And that perhaps sometimes happens with parliamentary questions, particularly in days where you might have many questions to be signed off on. Sometimes these things can be missed. I can understand how that would happen.
You are seemingly very understanding. Did he acknowledge, Brendan, that you know, confusion may have caused some of the outrage?
Well, I think there's a general acknowledgement in the room that there has been some misinformation. Again, though, since this really kicked off, today was the first time that we had an opportunity to actually be in the one room to have this discussed in any sort of detail. So that's welcome. And again, though, that is something that I think will take time to address and will require a bit of work. But certainly there is huge concern out there. Originally, when the response that I got was communicated, you know, the feeling was that this is something that's happening too soon, and this is too much of a measure, and it's the wrong time to be doing it, particularly in the context of what's happening in Eastern Europe, what's happening in relation to fuel security and all of the other moving parts that are there at the moment.
What requires a bit of work? Because what you've described to me, and I'm trying to glean as much as information as possible, is that there was an exchange of views, that they were frank in their exchange of views, both sides, but that there was no acceptance from Eamon Ryan that he had to change his proposal. Is that right?
Well, look, I can't speak for Minister Ryan. All I can say is that we made our views very clearly known. He has listened. What he does with that is a matter for the minister. But to be clear, members of the Fine Gael parliamentary party have expressed, first of all, that this is the wrong time to do this with the energy security issues that are there. And next winter, for example, was pointed to as being a time of great uncertainty in relation to gas and oil security and in relation to perhaps even the availability of coal. So one would imagine that with all of that insecurity and uncertainty, that our own indigenous fuel would be looked upon in a greater way now rather than actually being restricted. Other issues that were highlighted by members would have been the issue of obviously price and fuel poverty and the lack of affordable alternatives. Mm-hmm. And we do know, for example, that you have gas available in many parts of the country, but there are huge tracts of the country where you don't, for example, have that alternative. And one of the other issues in relation to, for example, air quality is the fact that, you know, if you ban one particular product, you may drive people over to another because you don't have time to transition or to have homes retrofitted.
That's a risk that people have mentioned as well. You're really putting them through the ringer, Brendan, you and your colleagues in Fine Gael, because he had a separate meeting with Fianna Fáil as well, and you say you're going to meet him again. Is that right? So
yes.
Do you expect him then to show movement or to change the proposal at the next meeting?
Well, look, I would hope that we are in a coalition arrangement, and I would hope that he would take on board the very strong feelings of the members of our party. And I don't know what went on at the Fianna Fáil meeting with him, but I'd imagine there were similar views expressed. So,
and if he doesn't change?
Well, look, that's a hypothetical question. What I do know is that he has said that he will meet with us again, which is welcome, and all of us would welcome that engagement and would hopefully work to resolve this. Look, this
but it's hypothetical in one way, but it's not really. I mean, he'll change or he won't. And if he doesn't change, what is your position? Are you saying that you'll row in behind, you voice your concerns, or will you stick to your guns here?
Well, look, anytime you use the word if, it is hypothetical, Cormac. So, look, we're working to resolve it. Being in politics is about resolving problems. And look, it's very easy for people to point out the problems and for people to, you know, to commentate on the problems that are there. But being in government is about trying to resolve things and moving things along. And as I said, look, there were previous problems in the coalition issues that would have arisen from time to time, and they do get resolved through dialogue and through some give and take. But, you know, we consider ourselves to be a reasonable party. I know a lot of people would probably disagree to that statement, but, you know, we're just trying to find a way forward here that doesn't have an adverse impact, or an overly adverse impact on the people that we represent.
And the climate, I suppose, as well. You're concerned about that, or are you, at this point?
We are, of course. I mean, there are huge concerns in relation to air quality, in relation to the overall climate, and as a party, we have gone on a very long journey in terms of signing up to commitments in relation to climate change and climate
implementing
action.
Implementing them, I suppose, is another. When are you meeting again, before I let you go?
We haven't agreed a time, but as soon as possible, obviously, would be suitable for the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party, because this is something that's causing an awful lot of concern to people out there, a lot of worry, in particular to people who are dependent on turf just to keep their homes warm and to get them through the winter and the cold months, and to do some of the basic things that households need. Not everybody has modern households with all the modern conveniences, so we have to think of those people as well.
Well, I'm sure people are screaming at the radio, ask about the climate crisis, and we have done that previously as well, and I'm sure they were aired at the meeting, those grievances on both sides, and targets in terms of climate action and so on, but we'll leave it there for the moment. People can text us to 51551. Yeah. Brendan Griffin of Fine Gael, thank you very much.
Thank you.